Blessed be the name of the Lord. And part of the trial in the wilderness is Deuteronomy chapter 13. Can we open it? From verse 1. As I mentioned, false prophet, that scripture comes to my mind. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Listen, and that sign or the wonder come to pass. Is it not God that has spoken? Since it has come to pass, it is God. Listen to the mystery. Thus said the Lord, by so time, rain will fall, so that you will know God is talking to me. And by that time, rain, exactly that time, rain falls. Is it not God? And won't you say God is speaking to him? Okay, verse 2. Okay. Whereof he spake, that is after that, he spake unto you, unto this, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So, part of the trial is to expose you to a false prophet. Praise God. And a lot of you make these mistakes. Listen, church. I've been saying, I continue to say it. The only reason why you can leave any ministry, it should be because of an experience you have with a pastor, not with the people working under him. That is the only reason you should leave that church. Because Satan anoints people to attach themselves to ministry to drive people away, to spoil the testimony of the church. Who do you use to measure the standard of any ministry? It's not the people working with me. It is me you use. It's me. Praise God. And I have exposed my full personal phone number to everybody, so that communication is easier now than before. Send a text of an experience you have. Send a text of somebody you met and what they did. Give me a call and I answer all calls unless I am not with the phone. Why will I be a pastor and not answer calls? It's wrong. Praise the Lord. You are hearing me now, including those of you watching us online. This church, we don't charge anybody, because that's the area. It's only two areas that they hit now. Through the womanizers, fornicators that are anointed, and the commercial ministers that negotiate how much you will pay before I pray for you. Commercial. That is not the spirit of this church, oh. It's abomination for a Christian. A Christian is somebody who has no conscience. And in an atmosphere like this, you must be very, very close to a serpent seed. In fact, you are a confirmed tear that you can stand, even after I am saying like this, to still look left and right. You know anybody here? Who directs you here? As you see, say you don't know anybody. You say, okay. I will get 20 widows to pray for you. It's thus said the Lord. Bring 5,000. Put it in 20 envelopes. Amen. Some will say, bring building offering, and then I will put it at the altar for you. Amen. You know, to get money using anointing, too many ways. I'm saying some. I'm trying to expose a spirit. So if you form Mugu, you are confirmed everlasting Mugu. Because I've told you the truth. Praise God. But I am your pastor. Is he your pastor? you are going for family deliverance, would you come for your pastor to pray for you before you go? Why are you sneaking to go? Then when the thing scatter, they shame, they catch you to come tell me, that's why you just leave, go in anger. Because you know if you come to me, you too, you are accused. Why you give up? The taker and the giver of bribe, they are all they are all criminals. Praise the Lord. I will stand like this as I'm preaching like this. I'm ministering with microphone and everything. Then a sister will come to me for counseling. Then I will invite you to a hotel. Then I'll start to chase you. Is that a minister of God? How is it possible? No conscience. It's happening, but you will jam them. I am emphasizing the wilderness journey. So God can use that prophet after he has discerned you, show you everything, then listen to what he tells you after displaying that gift. Is it scriptural or not? Is he telling you to divorce your wife? Is he telling you to divorce your husband, which is contrary to the word? Is he creating problems in your family, or he is mending the family? Hallelujah. That's part of the wilderness, the temptations, the trials we go through. And that is why Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, hallelujah, verse 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. This is the way Apostle Peter put every born again Christian. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So one of the processes of growing is eat the word of God. As soon as you are born again, let your emphasis not be on the anointing, but on the revelation of who that God is. Know his word, for his will is buried in his word. You can never know God through the anointing. No. You can never know how to please God through the anointing. The reason is, the anointing deceives. The anointing, once you receive it, God does not withdraw it. So, the operation of the gift that you have does not depend on how right you are with God. And that the gift is not a confirmation that you are right with God. Because his gift and calling is without repentance. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 105. It said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what is it that gives you direction in the Christian journey? It is the word. The light of the word shows you through darkness. Can we read Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23? Proverbs chapter 6 verse 23. It says, for the commandment, the word of God, is a lamp. Is a lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. See? It's through his word you receive instructions. Through his word you receive revelation. You receive illumination concerning the things of the kingdom, concerning how you should relate with your maker. Therefore, one most important aspect of your Christian activity is study of God's word. Study. Show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And how does he do it? He does it through the ministry for perfection. And it is the fivefold ministry. God has ordained to use the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that. Verse 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. That is our work. To watch it, to see that you are growing. You are moving from carnality and being more spiritual. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The process for perfection. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're talking about being like God. Perfection. Perfection. I want everybody, open your Bible, we'll just look at the way Apostle Peter put it. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the way he put it from verse 2, greeting the church. Okay, let me start it from verse 1. It's a letter to us here today. Simon Peter, that is the letter, is from Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is he written to? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are we here today? We are the ones. Then in verse 2 he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through what? Through what? Through the knowledge of God. Grace cannot multiply but by the knowledge of God. You can only grow in grace as you know Him. And you can only know Him when you study. Verse 3. According as His... Listen, these words here are selected, so I'm stressing it. You see, I'm not rushing it because I want us to study what Peter is saying here. For that is the process of perfection. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life, He has given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. Through what? Through what? Knowledge. Get knowledge. Get understanding. With all thy getting, get what? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. What did He call us into? It's a Bible study. It will help you. What did He call us into? So if the glory of God is not seen around you, godly virtues are not seen around you, you are not called. That is what He has called us unto. Glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might, by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Divinity. Nature of God. Divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, then the process. And beside this, he said, give you all diligence. Somebody shout diligence. Say diligence. Diligence. When you say diligence, it means seriousness. Seriousness. Look, I thank God for the process that He saved me. Somebody say, Pastor, which school of theology did you go? The school of theology I went is the Holy Ghost School of Theology. I didn't go to any Bible school, but I am telling you that when I gave my life to Christ, I desired to know Him more than anything else. That has led me to read and read and read, you will think I am studying for an examination. I was not a minister, I was an ordinary prisoner. I was a prisoner inside prison yard. I took the advantage of doing nothing else than to sleep, wake up, play, lie down again for myself. Study, and Satan thought he has finished me, and God was repackaging me there. Praise God. And every day, the more I knew him, the more exciting it became to me. The more I decided to know him more and more. That is why I call him the great encoder of the mystery of salvation. And that he is the only decoder of that mystery that he encoded. When he opens it for you, you see something. And some doctorate degree holder of divinity cannot know a simple process of salvation. Water baptism, they know nothing about it. They still see God as three persons. And a prisoner, God came down inside the prison yard and was showing me his Godhead. Study. Now, how many pastors expose themselves to the whole world and say, ask me a question? How many pastors can do that? They can't, because they know they have a lot of things they cannot answer. A lot of things they do, they cannot answer. And some of them are afraid that somebody will stand up and ask questions. Why don't you allow people to climb the altar and only you they climb? Waiting there under. Somebody will ask you, you are a pastor, but why did you do this type of wedding? Who is that man that wedded you that was wearing red? Somebody will ask that type of question. So you cannot stand and ask like that. Pastor, why are you palming your hair? Can you tell us why you are palming your hair? Pastor, the Bible says that it is wrong for everybody to speak in tongues. Why do you always tell us everybody stand up and speak in tongues? Pastor, the Bible said they speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave utterance. Why are you teaching people how to speak in tongues? Are you Holy Ghost? They can't answer it. Pastor, why is it that it is your picture and your wife's picture that is on the billboard outside? Why is it not Jesus? Is it your church or Jesus' church? Can you answer that? Pastor, why are you ordaining women pastors? Why is your wife your assistant? Is it a family church? Pastor, can you answer me? Hallelujah. Why? Because I study. Diligent. He said diligent. Seriousness. Okay. Let's go now. 2 Peter chapter 1. Very common scripture, but it's very deep. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What? Already you have faith. That is your Christian faith. You are a believer. You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, you are now known as a Christian. That is the faith. Again, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For daring is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's revealed from when? Faith to faith. From faith to faith there. From revelation to revelation. From revelation to revelation. The just shall live by faith. Now, you have that faith, Abby. He said, add to your faith what? What? Virtue. That faith that you have, to add virtue to it, is to make that faith that you have attractive. Attractive. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. And will Abraham say, live your life to be so salty until everybody will want to taste it. Put up so much virtue that people who see you will ask you, please, what is the secret of your joy? Why is it that I never see you ever angry? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there are some people that when they give their life to Christ, amen, then they think that is holiness. Don't palm your hair, don't do so. So when you see them, amen, the hair, they know they worship. So because they don't say the hair, they don't destroy them. So every time they cover it, 24 hours, they are covering it. Amen. They will not even put perfume. That is worldliness. Amen. You see, brother, everywhere, now body odor. Body odor. You enter anywhere, they are anxious for you to go now. Go. So I've had you. You can go. You can go. Hallelujah. Everybody that comes around you is devil. You are the only holy person. He said, add to that faith virtue. Make your faith to be attractive. A young man told me that he used to walk a worker in one of the church near us in the traffic section of the church. He said he discovered that when members of this church close and they are passing, he said he see their dressing, their faces, they look, you know, very joyful. He said they look different from their own. So that was what attracted him. Then he said, make him go see what thing they do for there. As he enter here, he no go back again. Who know what better thing? See, there are some churches, if you see their members, everywhere around them is poverty. Their ministers, they don't wear suit, they wear coat. Coat. You know this coat where Malam they sell for road? You know they go dry cleaner. Then they wash up. If you see their shoe, now 17th century shoe then they wear. Who will you win to your faith like that? The difference between plantain chips and begere. What's the difference? It's packaging. All of them are plantain. But there is packaging. Now you will like to eat plantain chips. But at the same thing as begere. All are plantain, but it's packaging. Package yourself very well. And make your religion be attractive. Add to your faith virtue. Okay, now the next one is what? After you have had virtue, add to that virtue what? Knowledge. Do you know why? Why? Because somebody is going to be attracted by you. When he comes, then you should tell him something. And you can only tell him something you know. Do you understand? So you must know the God that you are serving. Somebody is attracted to you, then tell him about the world, about that God, about the salvation process, about why you are happy. Even though nothing is working around you, show them by the scriptures. Every question you ask me, I answer you from the Bible. Hallelujah. Add knowledge. And to knowledge, what do you add? Temperance. Do you know why? Temperance is self-control. Temperance, hallelujah, is self-control because too much knowledge can puff you up. Amen. There is a way that you know so much until before you know what? You get very, very proud. So watch it. Add to your knowledge temperance so that pride is eliminated. Because God hates pride. Pride stagnates your growth. And add to your temperance what? Patience. Patience here is endurance. The reason is every one of us that will walk with God, always remember, God has his own program for you as an individual. He determines the time. He does not follow your own time. And that is why all he will answer you is, I have heard you. You will soon marry. And God's own soon is not our own soon. Jesus said, I am coming back soon. 2,000 years ago. It's still soon. Praise God. Can we read Romans chapter 5? Why you must add patience. And patience is so important until God himself tries us, personally trains us to have patience. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Verse 3 to 5. And not only so, but he said, we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation will produce patience. Worketh patience. Verse 4. And patience will produce what? Experience. And experience, what will it produce? Hope. Now listen. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hallelujah. What makes you believe that God will do it? I know he will do it. You can only say, I know he will do it because of an experience you have gone through. God wants to train you to have patience. He will let you take you along that training through tribulation. Through that process of tribulation, you will now acquire experience. Therefore, okay, let's look at Daniel, for instance. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shadrach. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you think that what they went through are before one who has power to cut off their life? They stood there and said, we will not bow before any image. Do you know why? They remember the experience of Daniel. They remember other experiences they have gone through. He said, we know our God will save us. Then they added, even if he will not save us, we will not bow. Now, and then, God waited. The fire was heated 7 times. God was watching the fire. To show them that fire, not correct fire, all those that came to throw them in that fire devoured them. So that you will know that it is correct fire. Yet, they did not say, okay, I changed my mind. They were ready to die. And then, they now threw them into that fire. And instead of that fire to burn them, hallelujah, there was somebody there waiting for them. Glory be to God. Now, after that experience, do you think that they will be afraid of anything again? That experience, that is what tribulation, it produces, hallelujah, it produces patience. Patience, how did he put it? Verse 5 of Romans chapter 5. This is the way he put it. Hallelujah. No, verse 4. He said, patience, it produces what? Experience. When you are patient, then the things that you go through will enable you have experience, which is called testimony. That is what we refer to as testimony. Every testimony you give is an experience you are narrating. And experience, what does it produce again? Hallelujah. And hope. Amen. Hope. What do you hope for? You will hope that my prayer will be answered. Therefore, you don't grumble. Therefore, you don't stop going to church. You don't stop praying. You don't go back to your vomit. Frustration is not part of you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Patience. James chapter 1. Let's read that scripture also. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, you see, Apostle Paul and James, two different disciples of Jesus Christ, saying the same thing. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will produce patience. But let patience, that is his advice, have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to patience what? Godliness. That is the statue you are to add. Add to your faith virtue. Upon that virtue, add knowledge. Upon that knowledge, add temperance. He didn't say remove one and replace it all. That means faith. Add to it. You are climbing the ladder, upward ladder to perfection. That is the 7 steps to perfection. Faith, then add patience, knowledge, temperance, add virtue, knowledge, temperance, then patience. Add that your patience throughout that period that you are patiently waiting on God, godliness. And godliness here is holy living, a life of righteousness, being sensitive of God, living a life pleasing before God. During that period, you are still demonstrating godliness like Job did. You will not curse him. You will not curse God. You will still display fear of God. And to godliness, what do you add? Brotherly kindness. That is number 6. Brotherly kindness. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we talk about brotherly kindness, praise God. Praise the Lord. Brotherly kindness is something that we should not just rush, because as far as this ministry is concerned and the bride of Christ worldwide, followers of the ministry of William Branham, this aspect is missing. I will not rush that. I need to dwell in it. Brotherly kindness. People are carrying the message of William Branham, but very wicked. People are taking communion together, but very wicked to one another. Selfish spirit. Very, very selfish. Selfish spirit. Very selfish. You hear your brother in the village is sick in the hospital. You will borrow money and run to the village to see him. But your brother in the faith is sick. You hear it. All you will say is, hey, yeah, he's sick. Wicked people. You will never grow with that type of spirit. Don't know when to rejoice with people, and you don't know how to, you know, mourn with people. Don't know how to console people. Don't know how to give. You only know how to receive. I need to dwell in it, though, because it hinders our journey to perfection. You remain like that. No giver. It's not only money you give. You give. Anything that proceeds from you to another person, you have given something. Some of us, now bad mouth we get. Bad mouth. Some people here carry Bible. They curse another member of the church. They curse. People sitting down here, they're not talking to one another, but they will take the communion bread away. Can we stand up? Hymn number 28. Feel my way every day with love. Hymn number 28. It's a prayer. It's not just a song. And every sincere believer should take that prayer. It's a prayer. Let's go.
Let me walk all the world with the way thou hast gone. Lead in the strength to the land I hold. Give and change. Give and change. Everywhere to the Father, the Lord.
Our prayer every day with love,
as I walk
with the heavenly Lord.
Let me go,
let me go on a walk
with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day.
Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. That's our prayer.
Let me never
in darkness
roll.
Keep my path
free
from love and my soul
satisfied.
Open my way every day. That's our prayer. My way every day in the Lord, as I walk with the heavenly
Lord.
Let me go on the way
with a song and a smile.
Will be over and I travel no more.
But abide
in my home abode. Let me sing, blessed King, on the way to
be my way
every day.
Hallelujah.
Oh, be my way. I walk with the heavenly Lord.
Let me go.
Let me go. All right, with a song. Oh, be my way.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Be my way every day.
As I walk with my heavenly Lord,
let me go,
let me go, all the while with a song. In my way, every day, if you notice, the last two steps to perfection is brotherly kindness and charity. There are two different things. And you must reach that seventh step, charity, before you can hear from above, hear ye.
Welcome back. I hope you have caught something from that illumination. The steps to perfection. The need for us to move on to perfection is a process of growth. And I pray that you will catch something and see the need to yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Ghost unto that desire to perfection. We will continue again next Sunday, God willing. Thank you very much.